This is Free Talk Live. We'll give you the toll-free call-in line here momentarily where you can join us. The Us in Studio tonight is Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And 30-round bump stocks are all over the news. And yes, I realize that's not actually a thing, but people talk about, you know, the 30-round something and then
Ghost
the bump
gun.
Stocks. And I just throw them together. I want to start a band called 30-round bump stock.
That's not a bad name for a band. I
know. It's a really good name for a band.
Mainstream media is so screwed up on their gun knowledge. It's so bad. I can't remember what article.
I heard that if you remove the firing pin, it turns it into an automatic weapon.
That's a good one, Daryl. I was reading some article today. It was talking about bump stocks and talking about how the AR-15, you know, has a 50-round standard magazine. I'm like,
I heard there were some people.
It's a 30-round magazine, guys. I mean, you can get a 50 if you want, but that's not what your typical AR comes with.
Did you go ahead, Heather?
I was going to say I heard that there were a few people on the internet that thought MS-13 was a gun.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, there was some guy that posted something about MS-13.
Ban MS-13.
Stephen King responded with, "Maybe you want to say that to the parents down in Florida."
Jeez.
For those that don't know, MS-13 is a gang, not a gun.
So, and a bad gang.
Anytime you throw a couple of letters and a couple of numbers together, it's got to be a gun.
So if it's an AR-15 is a gun, then an MS-13 has to be a gun.
but not as big, right? Because it's 13 instead of 15.
Yeah.
It's insanity. Or
bigger, because aren't some of the things where the gauge, the larger the smaller the number, the bigger the thing?
Shotguns. Yeah.
So a
12 gauge is bigger than a 20 gauge.
Yeah. And same thing with like the earrings, the people that get the gauged ear.
Is that how that works? So the bigger the number on a gun, the bigger it is?
Well, typically when we talk about caliber, if we're talking in the metric system, like a 9mm pistol, like the one that's on my hip right now, for example.
Allegedly?
No, not allegedly. It's right there. If anybody has any questions, come on down to the studio and I'll show it to you. But 9mm is smaller
than...
Does
it have a 30-round bump stock?
No.
Okay.
9mm is smaller than 10mm because you're actually just measuring how many millimeters. When you're talking about a .223 caliber, which is what the AR-15 shoots, is also known as a 5.56mm, that is 0.223 inches. So if you compare that to a 30 caliber, like a .308, that would be a bigger round than a .223.
So what does the 15 then mean in the AR-15?
The ARs, everybody's like, well, it stands for assault rifle. It's like, no, it doesn't. It stands
automatic revolver.
It stands for Armalite. Armalite was the company that first produced the AR-15s back in the 1950s. That's how long this design has been around, since Eugene Stoner created the idea of the AR platform. He started out with the AR-10, and that was a 30 caliber. Basically, it didn't look that different than your AR-15s or your M16s today.
And the M in M16 stands for missile.
Does it?
I can't remember what company it was, but I also read that like right before the shooting happened, some like big gun company filed bankruptcy.
Remington was talking about.
Yeah, I think it was Remington.
Well, the problem has been for the gun industry, and I have friends who own gun shops and things like that.
Yep.
When Trump came aboard after Obama, who was going to take all our guns away, nobody's worried about Trump taking your guns away, so gun sales go down.
Headline is Trump moves to ban bump stocks.
Jeez.
And do some other stuff. We'll get into that. But first, your calls and thoughts. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Caleb calling in from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Caleb, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts. Hello, Caleb. You're on the air. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, I was listening to you guys yesterday when you were talking about cryptocurrencies. But the main reason I got into cryptocurrencies was because of precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
And gold and silver have really opened my eyes to the possibility of money outside of the system.
Okay.
Now, I just want to talk about silver. One thing about silver is that it comes out of the ground at a 1-to-10 ratio. Well, for every ounce of gold that comes out of the ground, there's about 10 ounces of silver.
Yep.
But when you actually look at the price of both gold and silver, the ratio is about 1-to-80. So it takes about 80 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold.
Kind of out of whack right now.
It is out of whack, but I don't want to sound like I'm bashing gold, because gold is still a great investment and will increase in value, but it's just out of whack when it comes to the natural order ratio. And one other thing about silver is it's a big industrial metal. Gold has some industrial properties, but not as much as silver. As a matter of fact, there's thousands of uses for silver, and next to oil, it has the most uses of any commodity.
I don't disagree, and I think you'll find a lot of the hosts and co-hosts on this show have been silver bugs in the past. I mean, we've liked precious metals. I still like precious metals. I still have a lot of silver that I haven't. I didn't run out and cash out all my silver and gold for cryptocurrency. I think that's a little short-sighted. I think they both have their place in anybody's portfolio. I think if the S hits the F, then I would want
you
to have...
You can say fan.
Can I say fan? All right. If the S hits the fan, I think it would be a lot easier for me to trade locally with silver than it would be in cryptocurrency.
Right,
so.
And you know, if we're talking about that sort of situation to where there is no electricity or there is no internet, you've got a lot bigger problems to worry about than how you're going to wind up doing barter.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
well, it doesn't have to be, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, but the S doesn't actually have to hit the fan for gold or silver to really have, you know, a more real.
No, no, I don't disagree at all. I just, for a lot of people that I know, that is the primary motivation. They want to have something tangible.
Irreplaceable.
You know, there are a dozen places in the town where we're broadcasting from that I can go use cryptocurrencies. There might be one that I could use precious metals.
Somebody other than my store?
You're the one that I'm thinking is the might be one.
Yeah. If you're ever in Keene, New Hampshire, come to my store. I accept cryptocurrencies, unfortunately greenback dollars, and I do accept precious metals.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling in,
Caleb. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll jump into this Trump story in just a moment. But let's go to the Skype where we've got Ricky. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Thank you there, Brother Darryl, Brother Chris, and Sister Heather. Good evening.
Hi, Ricky.
Can you say Sister Heather one more time, just because that's just really
well,
weird.
Absolutely. That'd be Sister Heather there, Brother Chris.
There you go.
Go ahead with the thing that is somewhat related to a thought.
Well, I mean, when it comes to Donald J. Trump, the J stands for jackass. I mean, it never ceases to amaze Ricky from the Commonwealth with those bump stocks.
You're just not a fan.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long. I was talking about HB 1400 ago. You know,
Wikipedia says the J stands for John.
Well,
I'm with Ricky on this.
You know what? You got to question Wikipedia. You know,
sometimes. Right?
Yeah, I finally agree with Ricky.
No, but really, seriously. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, a couple months back, I was talking about with y'all about the HB 1400. You know, like I said, in Pennsylvania for the past
some
five
bill there years. In Pennsylvania. What was it supposed to do?
Expanded gun background check gun show bill. Basically, the way it works here is, you know, let's see here. Now, they want to have this applies to everything, you know, all forms of firearms, including barrels. You know, that are over 14 inches. I mean, 15-inch barrels.
Right.
Yep. You know, and also they're going to require an FFL for every single type of transfer.
Yep.
And even more, you know,
Ricky,
like, you know,
thank you for the call and the update about something pending in Pennsylvania.
It's pertinent news, Daryl.
Yeah. It's still pending. That's not
news. It's in the works.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And yeah, somehow I stuttered over the word studio.
I've never heard you stutter. Did you have a stutter when you were growing up?
No.
No speech impediment that you've never shared with anyone?
None that I'm aware of.
Daryl.
Daryl. Did you have a big southern accent, though, when you were growing up?
Not that I'm aware of. But you know what I do have? A MyPillow.
Oh.
And it is amazing. And you can get your very own MyPillow. And you can try it risk-free for 60 days. The MyPillow is designed to fit to the shape of your body. Hold your neck in the proper position. I've had this thing for a couple of years, and I can definitely say it's the best pillow I have ever had. And, you know, I still need to do this. Chris, I'm guessing you've done this a couple of times with yours, where you throw it in the washer, throw it in the dryer, remove that dirt, remove the dead skin.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pillow is still usable for something other than starting a fire. Go to MyPillow.com. Use code FTL, as in Free Talk Live. Get your very own MyPillow at half price. Or get a second pillow free of charge. And remember, if you don't like it for some reason in the first 60 days, you get your money back. And the pillow itself, that's guaranteed to last you 10 years. MyPillow.com. Code FTL.
You know what I sometimes do too, Daryl, speaking of...
Fluff your pillow?
I do fluff my pillow, and I skip the whole washing thing because sometimes you don't want to take the whole wash cycle, but pop your pillow in the dryer there for 10, 15 minutes,
yep,
and just sort of hyper-expands. It makes it all comfortable.
Yeah,
again.
And they actually recommend when you first get the pillow that you throw it in the dryer to wind up puffing it up.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it.
So we started off... teasing a gun story about President Donald Trump wanting to ban all kinds of things that sound scary.
And take lots of steps and do lots of things. The thought occurred to me today as I was going through getting some show prep together. Donald Trump has proposed more gun control measures in the last week than Barack Obama passed in 8 years. And I think that's something... conservatives need to wrap their heads around that pick your tyrant. You know, if you want somebody,
right, but he's their tyrant.
Yeah, but here's what I'm trying to say. Red team, but you're being worse than blue team. And this is atrocious.
The whole red blue thing, I'm still used to when I was growing up. Blue was Republicans and red were Democrats, and then that flipped in the year 2000.
Hmm. I do have like some empathy for the Trumpsters, you know, being duped, being conned
right,
into thinking someone is something they're not, and then you realize, you know, it's not easy to swallow your pride and admit you've been conned. But I think that with this most recent push on the Second Amendment, I think a lot more people are coming to terms that, okay, now he's not just playing a chess game, you know what I mean,
right,
trying to make moves in Washington and compromise a little here and a little there. Now he's actually going after the Second Amendment. I mean, what he proposed in that tweet is that basically anybody 18 to 21 should have their Second Amendment removed.
Correct.
Like, unless they join the military or become a police officer.
Exactly. So that's a blatant attack on a constitutional right.
Constitutionally
you
protected right.
You can't make excuses on that. You can't say, oh, that's him just trying to compromise with the, you know, whatever. No, that's an attack on your constitutional rights.
I saw a post earlier today, Chris, talking about your thing where he's proposed more gun control than Obama signed in 8 years. It said, does that mean that Trump is a better Democrat than Obama?
I don't even look at left, right, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. To me, it's tyranny or it's liberty.
Right.
And all these guys are on the side of tyranny. And if there's a line, you know, right down the middle of the road and one side is liberty and one side is tyranny, if you're a millimeter over on the tyranny side, well, you're tending towards tyranny. And that's what I've grown to realize I cannot accept. Which means it's really hard for me to find candidates to support.
Yes. I often find myself supporting NOTA.
Yeah.
None of the above.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's not a ballot listed option here in New Hampshire. It's only a ballot listed option in Nevada. And even in Nevada, it is not a binding option. So if none of the above, or actually in Nevada, it's none of these candidates. If none of these candidates wins the majority of the vote, the human candidate with the most votes winds up taking office.
Oh, see, now that's wrong. What they should do is if NOTA wins, none of the above wins the election, then they should just do away with that elected position.
Or have it be vacant until the next election.
Oh, no. I like my way better. Just do away with it.
Oh, so
slowly.
Do I.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
yeah.
I'm trying to compromise to see what would actually wind up getting passed.
Well, there you go again, Daryl. All right, I'm going to jump into the story, and we can talk about this because it touches on some of the stuff Heather's been talking about and some of the stuff you've been talking about. Trump moves to ban bump stocks. This comes to us from CNN Politics. Washington. President Donald Trump said on Tuesday that he has directed his attorney general to propose changes that would ban bump fire stocks, which make it easier to fire rounds more quickly. The move adds his voice to a process that began in December, 2 months after a gunman used the device in a shooting that left scores dead at a concert in Las Vegas.
So, do we know if a bump stock was used in Florida?
It was not used in Florida.
But ban them anyway.
Ban them. Ban something. And
let's ban public schools.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, this was probably, I could see Trump and his advisors sitting around, give me something I can do that will piss off the least number of people. And somebody says, you know, bump stocks, they're not a big deal anyway. Anybody who's a serious shooter doesn't use a bump stock. The people that buy them are buying them more or less for the novelty of it. So maybe the gun side won't get too angry if we ban bump stocks. It's not like we're banning guns or we're not banning ammo or anything like that. And I can hear this.
But he if he bans it for 18 to 21 year olds.
Well, and there's more to it than that, too. Yeah.
Depending on how they define bump stock, they could wind up making rubber bands illegal.
Yeah. And I can show you some great videos on YouTube, and I have yet to try it, but I'm going to. Basically, what you do is you extend your arm with your trigger finger out. You hold it rigidly at a certain position. You hold the AR gently to your shoulder. And then as it fires, as you pull back and squeeze, you concentrate on keeping your finger steady. And as the AR bounces into your shoulder, it will basically do a bump stock. And you'll be firing off 400 or 500 rounds a minute with zero accuracy. That's the whole thing about these things. They're not an accurate. It's not an accurate way to fire. It doesn't matter if you're in a elevated position over 30,000 people. Yeah, you're probably going to hit somebody.
Right.
That's a spray and pray. But
that's one of those things to where accuracy is not really important.
Not as important. Yeah. This is politics.
Yeah. So we'll jump into the meat of this article about Donald Trump's proposal to ban bump stocks, plus your calls and thoughts. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin related. Get help buying Bitcoins or choosing a Bitcoin wallet at Bitcoin.com. Read the latest news or even engage with the community on the Bitcoin forum at Bitcoin.com. You can even find places to spend your Bitcoin or play online games with the cryptocurrency. The source for all your Bitcoin needs and news, Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about the bump stocks and the 30-round clipazines and the AR-15s and all the other things with letters and numbers that sound scary to people that don't really understand what they mean. Again,
lawmakers,
Chris, you were pointing out that AR does not actually stand for automatic rifle.
Nope, stands for Armalite rifle.
Armalite being a brand name.
Yeah, it used to be a firearms manufacturer, and I think Eugene, somebody in Discord, said that Eugene Stoner, the designer, the father of the AR platform, the M16, the M4, so on and so on, sold the patents to Armalite, who I believe, I'm not sure if they went out of business, but they ended
Colt
up...
Colt owns them now, from what I was reading.
Yeah, Colt might have bought the Armalite company, but then the patents were generally available, so there's all sorts of manufacturers out there that make, if you will, the standard AR platform.
Right, so AR is no longer a brand name. It is a certain style.
It is. It's one of those things that's just been out there for so long. Again, we're talking about going back to the 50s. We're talking almost 70 years. That's how long this thing. And people are like, well, you know, now that they're on the street, it's like, really, guys? We're talking 60, 70 years. That this has been out there. The other thing that is interesting, that the U.S. Army actually defines the term assault rifle, which I did not know that they had ever done. And to them, an assault rifle is a selective fire rifle. And what selective fire means is
that means it's got a flash guard.
It means it is capable of semi-automatic fire or fully automatic fire. And when we talk about AR-15s, they function identically to a semi-automatic hunting rifle, meaning you pull the trigger once, one bullet comes out the barrel.
But it's got a flash guard, and that looks scary.
It does look scary. A fully automatic firearm, if you squeeze the trigger, bullets will come out one after the other until you release the trigger. So, you know, when everybody's talking about an assault weapons ban, assault rifle ban, well, those things are already so difficult to get because they're a highly controlled item. What they're talking about are semi-automatic rifles that are absolutely no different than a semi-automatic hunting rifle or a, you know, a Ruger 10/22.
But they've got flash guards and 30-round clips.
Is he proposing just the bump stock, or is he proposing AR's ban too?
Just the bump stock. Now, what pro-gun people like myself fear is this just, it's Pandora's box, it's the slippery slope. That if you allow, if government feels that they can regulate what amounts to a firearm gimmick, which is what a bump stock is, then they feel...
Right, it's like the flash guards back in the 90s.
Right, they feel that they can regulate firearm accessories like hand grips or flash guards or silly things like that, that have nothing to do with the performance of a particular weapon system.
Let's go to the phones, actually, to the Discord. You can join that and chat with other listeners, discord.lrn.fm. We've got Decentralized Internet calling in. I'm surprised that's not plural since it is decentralized. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Speaking of the Discord, I just wanted to comment on that. I think you guys are doing a great job with the new direction you've been taking with the Twitch and the Discord. You've been building up a great community here. But speaking of that, Heather.
Hi.
I got a question. Hi. What's it going to take to get you in the Discord chat? Because you got a lot of fans here.
Oh, do I really? Is that like sarcasm? Am I going to go in there and get mobbed?
No. Yes, you will.
Probably.
I thought I sent you a link to that.
What do I have to do?
Go to discord.lrn.fm, and then it will take you through. You create a username, a password, confirm an email. Is that what you called in about their decentralized internet?
Primarily, but I was also wondering if you guys heard about Ernie Hancock's flying, floating city or whatever he's got planned. I wanted to hear you guys comment on
it. I have heard about this.
I have not.
All right, so, and Decentralized Internet, thank you for the call. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. I'm not going to disconnect. So basically what Ernie has come up with, and Ernest Hancock is the host of a show called Declare Your Independence. It's another one of the shows on the Liberty Radio Network, where he has this idea for a big, giant, floating dirigible that is going to be solar-powered, and he wants to float it 10 kilometers above the ground, because somehow he has come to believe that that means he would not be subject to the laws of any government. and no country would shoot him out of the sky. He wants this thing to be the
airspace
size of
like airspace is still like regulated.
Right, and airspace, my understanding is airspace goes up to like 26 miles.
I think it goes up as far as government weapons can reach.
Yeah, that's, pretty much. As soon as they land on Mars, you know, someone's
like planting
a flag. Government weapons
can reach to where the satellites are that we're broadcasting on, but
exactly.
That's not considered to be in somebody, because you don't have to call the Chinese government every time the ISS floats over top.
I know what you're saying, Daryl. I know you're being logical, but I'm being pragmatic. If they don't like whatever's going on anywhere, they can take it out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as they go, so to pretend that there is an actual limit where how high before governments that are angry with what you're doing will reach to take you out, that is the distance.
That
distance
a number written down somewhere in some international treaty.
Because we never break treaties, do we, Heather?
No, never.
Never.
Yeah, and again, the number, I'm thinking the number is closer to like 26 miles, not 10 kilometers.
You're probably right.
Because going out into the ocean, it's like 13 miles.
I see. What do you think about the whole Elon Musk thing, launching that rocket, though, privately? Like, do you think he still like kind of was like hand in hand with government, though, to do it?
Obviously,
he had to be to get the
clearance. Thank you for bringing that up, because I want to thank all the taxpayers that are listening right now for paying for Elon Musk's rocket. I mean, was that not one of the great moments? Yeah, well, the guy's got $4.5 billion. That's an old number. That's 3 or 4 years old. $4.5 billion in government handouts that have primarily gone to his space system. So every one of you who's paid taxes in the last couple of years, pat yourself on the back for that great rocket launch you paid for.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
Right. Just get our faces on a sticker and put on the side of it. You know, we're endorsers, sponsors.
There was a Tesla that went into space.
You paid for that, too.
Rocket Man.
You paid for that, too.
Not my Tesla. Hashtag not my Tesla.
I'd wear that.
Let's go to Rudy calling in from Bullhead City, Arizona, 855-450-FREE. Rudy, you're on Free Talk Live listening to us on K-Talks. Go ahead with your thoughts.
It's not the last few years. It's like the last 40 or 50 years. We've used all the inventions and technology advancements that have been paid for with taxpayers' dollars since the beginning of the space race. I mean, he got quite a sweetheart deal there, didn't he, Mr. Elon Musk?
Hold on. So you're saying that Elon Musk has been getting government handouts for 40 or 50 years?
Oh, he benefited from all these space advancements that we paid for as American citizens. I'm not saying he's not a great guy. I don't know that much about him, but you know, I know one thing. He's a self promoter to the max.
Agree, definitely. I think I finally understand what you're saying. You're saying that he benefited from all of the advancements from NASA, not that he was directly on the government's paycheck for the last 50 years.
In that, I'll disagree, and I'll be able to back that up. He's received more than his companies have received more than $4.5 billion in government handouts, direct cash handouts in tax credits, in all sorts of crony capitalist crap.
But, no, what Rudy's not denying that, and Rudy, we'll keep you on. He's just saying that in addition to that, Musk benefited from the 40 or 50 years of NASA building stuff.
I'll give you that. We'll come back.
Your calls and thoughts. Welcome, 855-450-FREE. What are your thoughts on sending stuff into space, banning 30-round bump stocks, or just banning government? This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733 in studio tonight. It's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And Chris and Heather are trying to figure out how phones work. And
Come on, Daryl.
Well, you are. You're trying to figure out how phones work.
Heather wanted to get into the Discord chat, so I gave her a little bit of help there. Still maintaining my professionalism and understanding where we were in the show.
I can already tell there's a bunch of winners in this room.
Oh, jeez.
Don't talk bad about the listeners.
Exactly.
There's some cool people, but...
All right.
I haven't even been in there for a minute, and I'm already being called a little statist.
That's all right.
I can't say I was shocked.
That's fine. We don't need to read the Discord chat on the air, but if you want to call us, you can do that. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get back into... the discussion about 30-round bump stocks and Donald Trump wanting to ban things. But something that he, even though he might try to do, he's not given any indication that he wants to. But even if he did try to ban cryptocurrency, I don't think he would be able to very easily. Especially a cryptocurrency like Zencash that has, you know, a lot of really good, a lot of the best tech, really, in the crypto sphere. And Zencash was created by liberty-loving voluntarists back in 2017, where they took things like zero-knowledge anonymity, decentralized autonomous organizations, and they're creating a secure platform for money and messaging that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. And they reference voluntarism and voluntary interaction numerous times throughout the white paper. And as of just a couple of days ago, they now have over 7,000 secure nodes, which makes Zencash one of the strongest blockchains out there. The wallets are available in multiple languages and on multiple platforms. You can learn more at zencash.com. That's zencash.com. Let's head back to the phones, where we've got Rudy calling in from Bullhead City, Arizona. And we had diverted off of the 30-round bump stock discussion to, and yes, I know that's not actually a thing, but, you know, people there for a while, they were talking about the 30-round clips and then
30-round
bump
ghost
stocks. All right, so just throw all the scary-sounding things into one term.
Right.
30-round bump stock. But we diverted off of that to talk about Elon Musk, one of the biggest welfare whores that there is in the United States. Chris, you had mentioned over, what was it, the last 5 years he's received almost $5 billion?
The 2015 was the last time anybody was ever able to really nail down a number. And within the last few years, then it was up to $4.9 billion.
And that's direct subsidies. And Rudy, you mentioned a lot of the indirect stuff, such as some of the technology that was created by NASA in the 1960s.
Yeah, okay. But why I called? But first of all, about Elon Musk, I have relatives in Australia. They think he's just the best thing since cherry pie, you know, with that battery that he made in South Australia.
Yep.
When the power plants go down. Yeah, it's pretty successful. So
yeah,
the guy's definitely a genius.
I don't fault him for his technology. I have an issue with crony capitalism, whether it's an Elon Musk and great battery technology and great cars or great space program. The same way I have a problem with Mobil Oil getting U.S. tax dollars to go drill for oil.
Or BP getting
money.
Basically bailed out when they had one of their oil rigs explode down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep, same thing. Go ahead.
About the bump stock, you know, Trump said it means nothing about the bump stock. He asked his attorney general to look into it.
Right.
All legislation comes through Congress.
Agreed.
It's a no-starter. It's just something for him to talk about that makes people talk about it, but I mean, unless it comes to the Congress, the bill doesn't exist.
Right, but here's that slippery slope. Here's Congress, 535 individuals that most of them are getting beat up by their constituents about what happened in Florida and all, you know, these mass shootings that are going on, and people are demanding do something, and I suspect Republicans are honestly getting a little scared and freaked out. And what this message says is, you know, when the president signals that he's directing someone in his administration to look at something, that tells them, okay, well, we kind of have him over a barrel, because now if we propose legislation to ban bump stocks, he's going to have a real hard time going back on that and not signing it into law. So You know, maybe we can pull this off.
He doesn't propose legislation.
No, but he brings up an idea that legislatures may run with. That's my concern.
Oh, okay.
And what about the concern? And I realize, you know, he's not given any indication at this point that he's willing to just sign an executive order. Any concerns there?
It's a possibility, but I just don't see what an executive order would do.
You think Congress will pass it, though? Can't they, like, overthrow an executive order?
No, but...
Two-thirds?
Executive orders are a way to bypass Congress completely.
No, right. But because I'm pretty sure there's a remedy, though. Like, if two-thirds of the Congress vote against it, it can be, like, overthrown.
Well, that would be overriding a veto.
Executive orders are not legislation. They do not go to Congress.
I remember hearing about this once, that there is one potential remedy to, like, an executive order.
Magic words. Yeah, you impeach the president, and then you have the next president wind up repealing the executive order.
You can't just write an executive order for anything you want as president, and it automatically, without doubt, gets granted.
That they can write executive orders for anything, and then it's up to somebody to challenge it in court, and then a court to agree, you're right, he is wrong. Rudy, continue with your thought.
Actually, two things. I think Donald Trump's biggest problem is the $35 million he took from the NRA. But with the executive order, I think they have 120 days. The Congress has 120 days to override the executive order.
Thank you.
That's the way it's written. But there's a certain time limit that Congress can say, that's too far, too fast, whatever. And they can override it. But anyway, thanks.
Yep, Rudy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Bad Slave calling in on the Skype. Bad Slave, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi, Daryl, Chris, and hey, Heather. How you doing?
Great. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Listen, I actually think that leaving bump stocks in the mix will actually save lives. Because if you put a bump stock on a gun and you use that to shoot fast, you will lose a lot of ammo and you will probably hit less people.
Yeah, much less accurate. I don't disagree.
You know, and you know, just like use your brain. Just like, please use your brains with these policies.
Maybe we should make we should propose a bump stock requirement. Everything's got to have put a bump stock on it. Kind of like put a bird on it.
Yeah, right. You can't shoot
That's a Portlandia reference.
It gets to diminishing returns at a certain point where the crowd's thicker or whatever.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. So I don't have a bump stock, but I've got, you know, like I think another 100 million people in this country have a Ruger 10/22.
What are they going to go around collecting all the bumps?
And bad slave, you ever heard of a BMF activator? I know you're kind of a gun guy.
A BMF activator. I probably know what it is, but I.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is. But it's it's a part designed for a Ruger 10/22.
I have a Ruger 10/22.
Yep. And what it is, it's a crank. So you take it apart, you slide it onto your trigger assembly,
yes.
It's got a little hand crank on the side. So it basically turns your Ruger 10/22 into a ridiculously low-powered Gatling gun. Oh, and it will burn through a 30-round magazine in just a couple seconds.
But it's all individual trigger pulls. Right?
Exactly. Individual trigger pulls, which means it's not a fully automatic weapon, and there's absolutely zero accuracy on this thing.
I've actually seen somebody demonstrating something like that. Okay, now I want to comment about 30-round mags. That's crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, it isn't even anything active. It's just the container for bullets.
Right.
You know, and the fact is that it's, you know, there is no harmed party.
No, I guarantee you, if you want to give me 3 10-round mags and somebody else 1 30-round mag who doesn't shoot much, I will shoot a 10, reload, shoot a 10, reload just as fast. Right.
Bad Slave, thank you for the call. This is Free Talk Live.
Cryptocurrencies are successful because of good technology. The liberty-loving voluntarists who founded Zencash in 2017 took the best tech, like zero-knowledge anonymity and decentralized autonomous organizations, and are creating a secure platform for money, messages, and media that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. Find out more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off our number two. In studio tonight is Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And, you know, we still haven't actually gotten very far in this story about Donald Trump's plan to possibly maybe ban bump stocks.
We got a paragraph in.
Yeah, that's not really getting very far.
Fortunately, it's a short story. So
we did get diverted, and of course, your calls and thoughts. Welcome. You can divert us even further. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So we got diverted talking about Tesla and precious metals and executive orders. And I did some fact-checking here.
Pennsylvania House Bill.
Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. Ricky does.
Yeah. So I did some fact checking on the executive order thing to where I said, I don't think Congress has any authority to do anything with executive orders. I think it's the president can, you know, revoke an executive order, or it can be invalidated by a court. There's actually an article from Quartz about the three ways that an executive order can either be modified, revoked, or superseded.
Thank you for continuing that sentence after three ways, because I thought that's where you were leaving it. Go ahead.
I don't want to know about Donald Trump's three ways. But number one, already mentioned, president can revoke, modify, or supersede any executive order, not just one that he has signed himself. Number two is Congress can revoke, modify, or supersede an executive order if the president was acting under authority granted to him by Congress. So if Congress passes some kind of legislation that says such and so can be done at the discretion of the president, and the president does it in a way they don't like,
right,
then they can intervene. Otherwise, nope. The third way is, as already mentioned, the courts can declare an executive order to be illegal or unconstitutional. And we're seeing that play out right now with Trump's "it's not a Muslim ban" that only applies to Muslim countries.
Right.
Where those were promptly challenged and working their way through the courts. So let's actually finally delve into this article here. Where's it from about Trump directing Jeff Sessions to do something about bump stocks?
Right, from CNN Politics, which is part of CNN.com. Let's see. And we talked about it. He's directing Jeff Sessions to do this. He mentions, they mentioned that this was used in the Las Vegas shooting, was not used in the Florida shooting, but quote, just a few minutes
being a bump stock.
Bump stock, just a few minutes ago, I signed a memo directing the Attorney General to propose regulations that ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns, unquote.
Trump's, all devices, so rubber bands.
Trump said at a Medal of Valor event at the White House addressing Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Yes, including rubber bands or fingers or belt loops the BMF activator that I described that goes onto a Ruger 1022, yep. Very popular little gadget. These do not turn legal weapons into machine guns, because in all of these cases, it still requires a separate press of the trigger to cause a round to fly out the end of the barrel.
It just allows you to do it faster than your little finger can activate on
exactly.
its own.
Exactly. And I would even put that up against some shooters' little fingers. I mean,
right. I've seen, you know, some of those speed shooters where the guy fires three rounds from a revolver in like 2.5 seconds, or it might even be less than that. But it's one of those things to where it's like, oh, he shot the gun like once, maybe.
Right.
And then super slow-mo, you see.
Yeah. And anybody who trains on the AR platform or the AK platform or any of these other things, the one of the first things you learn about is trigger reset, how to depress the trigger and your finger doesn't fly off. It moves forward till you feel that distinctive click of the trigger resetting. And at that point, you can press again. And even with that, you can fire very rapidly with nothing at all other than your finger.
Let's pause here to go to the Discord where we've got Thomas calling in. Thomas, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hello. Greetings from Denmark.
Yes, you're on the radio. Go ahead with your thoughts.
I'm living in a very socialistic, my country is socialistic, democratic country, but we're still very capitalist.
Okay.
And, you know, for example, from Bernie Sanders' speeches and such, that you should all live like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still feel like that? Do you even know anything about us?
Well, we're not Bernie Sanders. We're not Bernie Sanders supporters. So right. To ask us if we still feel like that when referencing Bernie Sanders, we can't accurately answer that question. I don't know a lot about Denmark other than where it's located. The people from Denmark are called Danish. Yes, it's north of Germany, and it is a Scandinavian country.
That is good. That's good.
The capital is Copenhagen. That.
No, it's not.
It's not. What is the capital of Denmark?
No idea. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
It's Copenhagen, Daryl.
Ah, yes.
It's actually Copenhagen.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take your word for it. You are our resident expert on Denmark this evening.
That our countries cannot be any more dissimilar than any other country in the world.
Really? Okay.
You don't have universal health care. You actually don't help your citizens through life.
No.
Where we are actually covered from birth into the grave.
Cradle to grave. So by that standard, you're basically saying that you have the country of Denmark, the kingdom of Denmark, has more in common with North Korea than it does with the United States. Would you agree with that?
I really don't know about North Korea because North Korea is just such a mystery.
Okay.
No one really knows how things work back there. But
how about communist China?
It might do. It might do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And as much as you say we don't take care of people from cradle to grave, slowly over the last 40 or 50 years and going back further, closer to 100, the U.S. continues to implement programs whose design is to do exactly that. So we may not be where you are, but it seems like a lot of people in this country are trying to get there. I personally feel that that's the wrong way to go. So I watched and he wasn't from Denmark, he was from Sweden, economist one time who gave a discussion basically called the Scandinavian myth. And the basic premise was this: through capitalism in the early parts, the late 19th century and early 20th century and throughout the 20th century, the Scandinavian countries embraced capitalism and became very, very wealthy. And once they had that great wealth, they figured, you know what, we can start taking care of our people more and we can divert more and more money towards social programs and kind of create that, you know, cradle to grave care program that you embrace. Then what the reality happens is the problem with socialism, as Margaret Thatcher liked to say, is that you run out of other people's money to take, and they realize that they couldn't afford it and they've tried to scale that back. Do you see that happening? Has that happened in Denmark?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
It might happen soon. But all those, all those American ideas that you said, that are, they are exactly American ideas. the union, the unions, the healthcare, after.
Thomas, hold that thought.
Yeah, we'll carry you over.
Hold that thought. We'll bring you back. Maybe take some notes. We'll be back. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If you're going to do any shopping online anytime soon, start that shopping experience at shop.freetalklive.com. And you're not going to wind up paying more when you click over to some of the places like Newegg or Walmart or Amazon Canada, Amazon UK. Unfortunately, there's not an Amazon US link anymore because Amazon US broke up with us for explaining what an affiliate program does. But when you go to shop.freetalklive.com, then just bookmark the link that you're going to go to, and then that saves a cookie or something in your browser, and then you don't have to keep going back to shop.freetalklive.com before shopping online. Let's head back to the call-in line on the Discord, where we've got Tomas calling in. Tomas calling about the differences between the U.S. and Denmark, and you were trying to make a point there towards the end of the last segment. Go ahead with your thought, Tomas.
Yes, I was trying to. The thing is that most of the things that the European unions actually incorporated into our systems, they are actually American ideas.
I don't doubt that.
Mayday, which everyone thinks is a Russian holiday, where all the workers unite.
Yeah, I think the reason people think it's a Russian holiday is from the movie Airplane, where there's the one scene where the guy yells, "Mayday, Mayday," and somebody says, "Mayday, that's the Russian New Year."
Yeah, I'm actually sure that is. But it's actually a unionist celebration of 1st of May from the Americas. And we actually incorporated that. Everything is controlled by unions in the EU. It's not controlled by the government. We cannot work more than 37 hours a week. It is controlled not by the government, but by the unions. But you killed the unions.
I didn't kill any unions.
No, you didn't, but
the U.S.
government
did.
I don't know, Massachusetts has quite a bit of them.
Yeah, we have
teachers unions, police unions.
Well, that's where all the growth is. It's in public sector unions. So the Federal Communications Workers Association or union, the teachers unions, those are huge and powerful and growing.
The AFSCME union, the Association of State, Federal, and Municipal Employees.
It's a good example. But
wasn't there one from Market Basket when that whole thing happened where all the employees went
on split? That's private.
So the private,
that was a union they were a part of, right?
It was, but that's a private union. We're talking about government employees.
Right. The public unions are the ones that basically hold the taxpayers at ransom to get raises and things like that because
we
pay
their
bills.
Union.
Right.
The postal employees union.
Right.
You think the teachers union would apply to only private teachers, though?
No. It's absolutely about public teachers.
Yes.
Most private teachers don't belong to unions. Now, private unions, there's nothing wrong with that in my book. But as workers have less to complain about, as our wages have increased, as workplaces have become safer, as employers tend to offer more benefits now to get good people, there's less of a role in private organizations for unions. They're not as needed, but they're not completely gone.
Right, and a lot of the private unions that do exist in states that don't have forced closed shop still have a lot of extra legal protections, and so that there's, you know, this weird intertwining of union and government, and that should not exist at all. Tomas, any final thoughts?
Well, all I can say is that a McDonald's worker in Denmark earns $26 as a minimum wage.
Do you know how much a Big Mac costs, sir?
Depends on.
I'm trying to get you to convert Denmark. Like kroners to dollars.
Oh shit! Yeah.
You can't say Dang. That, Tomas. Thank you for the call.
Go eat a burger. Ooh.
It was going well too.
Yeah.
No, I really wanted to see how much more expensive a Big Mac.
Google it.
Yeah, a Big Mac that's made by somebody who's making $26 an hour cost to compare to the U.S.
My guess is it's going to be a lot more than the couple dollars that a Big Mac is here.
Yeah. But it would be great to have that answer from somebody boots on the ground.
Yes. Yes, it would. Heather, any answer there real quick?
I don't know. According to Business Insider, on average, the Big Mac costs about $4.80 in the U.S. and $5.15 in Denmark. But it doesn't say anything about them getting paid $26 an hour.
That's all right.
It says that they get, they get paid sick leave and overtime pay.
Overtime is standard for anybody that winds up working over 40 hours a week. Let's go back to the phones where we've got Scarlett calling in. Watching us on Twitch. Scarlett, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Okay, bonjour. First of all, I wanted to speak with you about the immigration policy. You were talking about Trump's immigration ban.
Briefly. Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say, from being from a country that had open borders, that Americans, I am very happy that your president made that decision, because my country, it went bad without swearing there. It went downhill fast after we went open borders.
Which country is that?
France.
Which
France.
Country?
France.
France.
Okay. I didn't realize that France had open borders. I thought they had somewhat strict immigration rules, although they do have the Schengen region as part of the EU, but there's still immigration controls in France.
But they opened up their borders to a lot of immigrants from the Middle East.
They welcomed some refugees that never would have been created absent their military ours bombing the countries.
And what do you think they have a problem with Western civilization, if you will, with some of the American allies? Yeah. They have a problem with France.
I'm not going to be racist or anything or start religion bashing, but I really do think that these cultures cannot mix. I really don't think they can.
Can I pose a question to you?
Do you think that
the U.S. foreign policy, which has been to go into these countries frequently with the goal of getting their natural resources, particularly oil, building military bases, and then attacking, killing hundreds and thousands of civilians, do you think that would turn them somewhat against the coalition partners?
Yes, I do. I do think that is part of it that would have to do something with it, but not all of it is that. Not all of it is.
Scarlett, hold that thought. We'll be back.
We'll bring it
in
back.
Just a moment. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. What are your thoughts on immigration control, gun control, controlling anything? Should we? This is Free Talk Live.
Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And we'll head back to the phones in just a moment, where we've actually got a caller that's watching us on Twitch.
From France.
From France. Or I like to think of it as Francia.
Wait,
because
so
it used to be Francia.
Did this whole Twitch thing give us like a broader audience? Like, how did she find
it? It gave us a different audience.
Well, it added to our additional audience. Yes, it did, because Twitch is an international thing, as is...
Is it?
As well, YouTube is as well.
I thought it was a gamer thing, though. No.
Discord
is, too. It started off that way, as a gamer thing, and then they recently opened up to talk shows. And they actually have a talk show category, and... the last few times that I have looked, or Ian has looked, while we are on the air, we are in the top 10 of live talk shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it has opened up to a completely different audience than what would just be stumbling around on YouTube. You can find us at twitch.freetalklive.com. Let's go back to Scarlett. Scarlett, you're on again. Chris, what was the question that you had asked before the end of that last segment?
Well, it was just basically whether Scarlett agreed that U.S. foreign policy has caused a lot of issues with the immigrants who are coming to Western countries. And I believe, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you said, yes, that's part of it. But you also felt there were cultural differences that contribute to. So go ahead.
I actually moved to the U.S. back in 2015, so I thought I'd bring that up now. Like, I don't live in France anymore, but they started coming over then. But I do agree with you on that some of it might have been with the U.S., you know, going over there and, you know, the bombings and stuff like that. But some of it I do think is cultural, because back in France, if you were to go to Paris, which we lived kind of close to Paris. I'm not going to say why on air, but, you know, like where, but close. So if you'd go there, there'd be no-go zones, where there would be a lot of, you know, Muslim people from Pakistan and Afghanistan and a lot of people like that. And, you know, I'd have no problem with that.
I've heard people mention these no-go zones. And then the guy that created the story about these no-go zones actually went to France and then wound up writing an article rescinding his statement about no-go zones.
Right, but I don't know what the status of that is right now.
So the claim is that these no-go zones are places that the local police and government agents will not go into and advise people not go.
They do. You're allowed to go in them, but there are just certain areas that that's where like those people settled. And I just use the term no-go zone just so... So it's just easier for us to say, like, when you talk to another French person, you ask them about no-go zones, they'll most likely say, it's just places run, like, where these immigrants settled.
Right.
Or people who are just staying for a little bit settled. And most of them would be Muslim, and their religion, the women have to have, like, a man with them when they walk around. And they would go in cafes, and you can't go in a cafe as a woman. Like, you almost get kicked out. And I've had that happen, like, twice. I've almost, like, got kicked out once. And then the other time, they just kept berating me and would be like, why are you here? You know, you can't be here.
Are you talking about customers or the owner of the cafe?
Customers, not the owner. No,
so, like, when you would go into a cafe in one of these zones, they would do that to you?
Yeah, like, it would be like, here, I don't know how to explain it, sorry, my English.
You're doing fine.
I just went to Paris. I'm really glad I didn't go in one of those places.
Yeah.
I would have punched someone.
most of us don't, like, most French people don't want to say good things about Paris, because obviously it's a big city like that. You know, there's a lot of people there. But if you would go in a cafe like that, people, the customers usually, they would sit outside and they would come up to me and they would be like, it was such a long time ago, but I know that they would be rude, that they wouldn't want me in there. They'd be like, why are you here? You know, where's your family, or where's your man, or something like that.
I'd be like, because I'm American. You got something to say about it? Yeah. I'll go to like, that big red button.
I live here. It's my country. I've gone here all the time. And that's like where I have to say where culture comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's their religion. They're following their religion, which I have no problem if you want to do that. But I don't think you should kick somebody out or try to at least or harass them when they're just trying to get a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, be
work.
Respectful of other people in the community kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I have no direct, even though next door to my business here in Keene, New Hampshire is New Hampshire's only full-time mosque. That's my limited exposure to Islam and other than friends I've had through the years and things like that, but, have never really discussed it. I've never experienced, those types of things in Muslims that I know. That I've known, you know, going back to my days in the military or things like that. I've never experienced anything like that. But I've also never been to an alleged no-go zone in France.
And you're also not a woman. Yeah.
Right. And I'm not a woman. So I would naturally be treated differently. I just don't. I don't know. I just have to. So at some point, I should visit.
So, Scarlett, what's the solution? It sounds like you're pointing out a lot of things that you see as problems, but do you have any proposed solutions?
Solutions. I don't live in France anymore. I moved to the U.S. back in 2015.
Yep, but you said that you supported Donald Trump's ban for people from certain Muslim countries. So is that a solution? Just, you live in one of these countries, so therefore you can't come here because some people from your country are bad?
Support a temporary ban. I don't think there's...
How temporary? 30 days?
Yeah.
3 days? 3 hours? 30 years? 30 years is still temporary.
But, I think the... Go ahead and answer. I'm not going to...
But I think there should be one in place until we figure out a solution, because I don't think anyone really knows.
Is it in verifying who people are and what their intentions are and their background? Okay.
Yes.
So individual people, not just everybody from country X.
Yeah. Because I've met, obviously not every Muslim was bad. Well, back when I lived in there, I had a lot of friends who were Muslim, and one of them was a boy, and he had no problem with me doing stuff like that because he came over to France and he just wanted to follow his religion. You know, he had no problem with a woman were to go in a cafe, but it's the ones that are like extremists and stuff like that that were the ones that had problems. But to fix a problem like that, I think it would be to just, to start telling them that, everybody is here, that they're going to accept you, but there are going to be some people that won't. Like I said, I don't really know a solution for that. It would mostly be like a community thing because it would have to be multiple people to show them that we're not going to berate you because of your religion, but you shouldn't berate us because we're not your religion or, a woman goes into a cafe or something like that.
Especially if they immigrate into France and then they set up shop and they make fun of people that come in there. Like, go back to where
you came
from.
She's talking about customers. She's not talking about the cafe owner. She is not saying the cafe owners were berating her. Yeah.
Well, the cafe owners are just as bad for letting them sit there and do it. Like,
No. No, they didn't. Most of the time, they didn't. That's what happened. Like, I would go in there. They'd kind of, say things. You would hear them talking in the background. And they would kind of go up to you, but... The owner would usually, or a worker would tell him to stop if you would go up and say, can you please have these people stop? But some of them were owned by Muslims. And sometimes, in some cases, I heard they didn't do anything and they would kick you out.
Hmm.
Right.
So,
Scarlett, thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your thoughts are welcome, whether it be about guns, bump stocks, immigrants, or the latest news on the Ross Ulbricht trial that we've not even touched on yet. But it's not good. We'll tell you about it coming up here in moments. And again, plus your calls and thoughts. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll finally delve into, hopefully, this bump stock story from CNN about what Donald Trump is asking Jeff Sessions to do. But before we delve into that, I want to tell you about Liberty.menu. Why? Well, it's finally doing something that libertarians have wanted for years. A directory of liberty-minded businesses. Liberty.menu is a tool for our community. At its core is a directory for events, businesses, and digital content, and so much more. Listings, kind of like Yelp, can be rated and reviewed. And there's also a bit of a social networking aspect to where you can connect and share with other users. Use of Liberty.menu is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and those who abide, or rather agree to abide, by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. Put your voluntarist ideas into action at Liberty.menu and use code FTL to get a special badge when you sign up. Or even if you've already got an account, you can still put in that code FTL in the activity code bar on the website, Liberty.menu. It gives you a special Free Talk Live listener badge. Liberty.menu, activity code FTL.
And going back to our story, we talked about Trump asking his Attorney General Jeff Sessions to draft a ban for bump stocks and, quote, all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns, unquote. And so, we talked about how that's not at all an accurate statement.
So they're not banning anything. If they're banning a device that can turn a semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun, they're not banning anything because nothing does that.
Have you not seen Harry Potter? There are magic wands that could turn regular AR-15s into machine guns, Daryl.
No, I have not seen Harry Potter. Do I look like I'm 12?
Heather? Do you think he looks like he's 12? I'm going with a little older. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, this story continues. While the president's comment on the issue is new, the Justice Department had announced in December, in the wake of the Las Vegas shooting, that it had begun the rulemaking process that could allow it to reinterpret the legality of the devices. That process is ongoing. The proposal submitted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which questioned the statute definition of a machine gun under federal gun laws, drew more than 35,000 comments from the public, far more than usual, which likely signals that pro or anti-gun control groups, or both, mobilized their membership and email lists to weigh in. Comments were due by January 25th. If, after reviewing the comments, the ATF decides to rewrite the machine gun definition to include bump stock devices, barring their sale and possession, the agency could then reexamine prior rulings and guidance it had made in the production of the device to private manufacturers. In a statement Tuesday, Justice Department spokesperson Sarah Isger Flores said, quote, The department understands as a priority for the president has acted quickly to move through the rulemaking process. We look forward to the results of that process as soon as it is duly completed, unquote. Early Tuesday, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said Trump had ordered the Justice Department and the ATF to review bump fire stocks, which she said had been completed. She said movement on the front would take place shortly. Quote, the president, when it comes to that, is committed to ensuring that those devices are, again, I'm not going to get ahead of the announcement, but I can tell you that the president doesn't support use of those accessories, unquote, Sanders said. Senator Dianne Feinstein, a California Democrat who submitted a bill last year in the Senate that would ban bump stocks, welcomed Trump's support for a ban, but cautioned that new agency rules could fail because of the ATF's past stance on the devices. Quote, if ATF tries to ban these devices after admittedly repeating that it lacks the authority to do so, thank you, that's me, not her, that process could be tied up in court for years, and that would mean bump stocks would continue to be sold, unquote, Feinstein said. Legislation is the only answer, she said. Words are one thing, Mr. President, but we need meaningful action. So, yeah, and what's really frightening about what they're trying to do here is trying to not restrict the use or restrict a certain category. They're trying, or a small category of an accessory, they're trying to expand the definition of a machine gun.
Correct.
Which, in my mind, is even worse, you know. What about, you know, if a gun is capable, if somebody with a really fast trigger can fire more than, you know, 100 rounds a minute, then that gun should be banned, too. It should be considered a machine gun, which means then you have to get the permission of your local law enforcement. You have to send your picture and your fingerprints to Washington and pay a $200 tax stamp to get almost anything. This is why I describe slippery
slope. And you can't transfer that. And by transfer, that means that, Chris, if me and you go to the gun range together,
right,
and I say, oh, that looks cool, can I fire a couple of shots? You can't hand that over to me. You can't allow me to pick it up because that is a transfer of the firearm.
Yeah, there are some limited ways that you can sort of get around that in certain circumstances.
Yes, by creating a trust, having the firearm owned by the trust, and then making me a trustee.
Well, I want to know how they do it at machine gun shoots then, when you can go pay, you know, $50 to go shoot all the machine guns here in New Hampshire or in other places. I suspect there's some way that you can allow other people to fire your weapon, but,
right, but
you certainly couldn't sell it.
If they want to enforce this as strict as possible, they would say, Chris, that was a transfer of that firearm.
Right.
You allowing Daryl to pick that up, that was a transfer.
Right. And to be clear, I'm trying to remember the last mass shooting that would have involved a fully automatic weapon. And I'm drawing a blank here.
Wasn't it the concert?
No, that was a bump stock.
Hold on.
A semi-automatic with a bump stock.
What did they use in Vietnam?
The M16 and the M14.
The World War II?
The M1 Garand and a bunch of bigger.
I'm just thinking, you know, the M60. Last mass shooting involving a machine gun was probably done by a government entity somewhere.
Well, then last week in Syria or
no, those
Iraq.
Were drones. Those were drones.
Well, we have boots on the ground, too.
Right, but you know, the people that were killed in Eastern Ghouta, they were killed by drones.
I'm Googling this because I'm curious, and there is zero correlation between the number of fully automatic weapons and mass shootings because, number one, they're just not used.
Right.
Number two, New Hampshire, which is one of the safest states in the United States, where this show is being broadcast from, has what? The highest number of automatic weapons per capita of any state in the United States. I'm very proud of that. There are more people per capita that actually own fully automatic weapons here. And that makes me feel a little bit safer.
You know, they say in New Hampshire, there's less murders, more missing people.
I've never heard that.
They get drunk, lost, and go now, lost snowmobiling.
Well, one thing that's interesting, and I'm sure that one of the anti-gun people will pull this statistic. New Hampshire does have a fairly, you know, quote unquote, high compared to other states in the area rate of deaths by firearm. However, the vast majority of those are self-inflicted gunshot wounds that are suicide.
Yeah. And that
when you remove the suicides from the gun statistics, New Hampshire has, I believe it's the lowest. It's definitely in the top five lowest.
Yeah, and that's the thing about statistics. You can pretty much make them say whatever you want.
Yes.
But statistically speaking, you know, three times as many people are killed by knives than they are killed by rifles.
Statistically speaking, Teddy Kennedy's car has killed more people than the three hosts on this show right now have ever killed.
You are exactly correct.
You don't know how many people I've killed.
That's true. You forgot Heather was here. And just some nights, man, you look at her and you go,
okay, Teddy Kennedy's car has killed more people than either me or Chris and all of our guns combined.
There we go. You haven't really killed anybody, I don't think.
No.
Not yet.
Like squished spiders and stuff.
But spiders have feelings.
I don't care.
Don't you care about the spider's feelings?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you, Heather.
As long as it stays out of my house, it has nothing to worry about. If it's in my house, okay.
Your calls and thoughts.
Property
855 450 free. Maybe that spider thought he was your roommate.
No, he was probably just an anarchist. Thought he could go wherever the hell he wanted.
855 450 free. He was your roommate. He was leaving change in your couch cushions. This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts. 855 450 free.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off hour number three in studio tonight. It's Daryl
and Heather
and Chris,
and we spent the first better part of the first couple of hours talking off and on about Donald Trump's proposal to ban possibly maybe bump stocks, but also maybe possibly redefine what a machine gun is to include something other than what a machine gun actually is.
Yeah, and two other things that he's proposed lately. It's been increasing the age to purchase an AR-15 to 21. That might be raise the minimum age requirement for buying military-style weapons. So now some bureaucrat has to decide what a military-style weapon is. So
don't some of the military guys get handguns issued to them?
Sure.
Don't some military guys also carry knives?
Knives,
them?
You get a bayonet, and even some... some Marines, they get to carry swords.
Ooh. What's that cord stuff that a lot of people wind up? The survivalists get their shoestrings made out of it?
550 paracord?
Yeah, that stuff. Military has that?
Sure.
You could strangle a man with paracord?
Calling that a poor man's garrote? Sure.
I don't know what a poor man's groot is. But you could strangle a man with paracord?
I suppose so.
All right. So that means that I can no longer buy paracord. I can't have a knife because, you know, Swiss Army knives. Well, the Swiss Army have those.
Trump is saying, yes, you can, but not until you're 21 years old.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm
allowed to keep my Swiss Army knife.
More to the point, you're allowed to join the military and die in a war, but you're not old enough to responsibly purchase a gun just like the one, not even just like, that looks similar to the one you have in the military. You can't buy that at home, even though it's semi-automatic and not fully automatic. And you're still, of course, you can't drink a beer. So no beer, no guns until you're 21.
I feel like anytime something like this happens, there needs to be like a 30-day cool-off period before lawmakers can pass anything having to do with it.
Maybe we should put a 30-day waiting period on legislation.
I'm serious,
Heather,
because everyone's
it.
Running like emotional responses, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's totally understandable. When something like this happens, people are devastated and they want to fix it, they want to prevent it from happening. That's all fine and dandy, but when you're hormones, your emotions are like going haywire and you're just like really angry, like you should not be passing laws. Because that's just...
I'll agree with the last part of that sentence. You should not be passing laws. Yeah.
But I'm saying that, you know, the intentions are good, but I think people should, you know, let their brains settle following a traumatic thing like this before they go doing things that could have
long-term impacts. But the thing is they want to use those emotions to get these laws passed.
Right, they do, and this is where something like the, and I realize that, you know, I'm sort of diverging off of the primary topic, but it happens, something like the Read the Bills Act would go along, and it's not a 30-day waiting period on legislation, but it does require, and of course it's just a proposal at this point, it would require, if enacted, that all legislation be available publicly for 7 days before Congress takes any action. It would also require that members of Congress either sign off saying, you know, I affirm that I have read this piece of legislation, or it would have, either the speaker or the clerk, someone read the text of the legislation on the floor of Congress.
So, right. Right.
You know, it creates that waiting period on legislation to make sure that these 12,000-page behemoths don't just get rammed down somebody's throat.
They should just, yeah, make it so onerous to pass a law like that that they quit writing 12,000-page laws.
Here's another idea. 2/3 majority to pass a bill, 40% to repeal something. You want to get rid of a section of statute? Need 40% of the legislative body to agree. You want to add something to the statute, you need 2/3.
Okay.
So 40% of Democrats could repeal our gun rights?
No, he's saying no. Super majorities.
What do you... I don't know.
No, so right now there's federal prohibitions on possession of cannabis. You want to repeal that? Right now, it takes the same number of votes to repeal legislation as it does to pass legislation. So my proposal is you only need 40% of the people to strike things from statute, but you need a supermajority to add new things to statute.
That makes no sense, because then everything that gets passed is just going to get struck like right after.
You're never going to get 2/3 majority to agree to wind up adding horrible stuff.
It makes so much sense, Daryl, it'll never happen.
I know, and maybe I'm just used to dealing with private organizations to where to amend the bylaws, you need a 2/3 majority.
Right.
If I need 2/3 majority to fix this shouldn't have been a comma here, then why can Congress wind up doing stuff with a simple majority?
I think that's so funny, sad funny, when you bills like last year when I went with you guys to the State House, when there literally would be like hearings on like commas.
And the one that sounds, you know, like somebody is picking at minutia, the therapeutic cannabis legislation, or it's law now, there's one word that needs to be changed to or. And that sounds like you're just, you know, like picking on one little thing of we need to add a comma, but it's so huge because
that can change the complete nature of a law.
Right. So right now in New Hampshire, and I'm guessing in a lot of other states as well, to qualify for therapeutic cannabis, you need to have a diagnosis and you need to have a symptom or more than one symptom. By changing the and to an or, it's a diagnosis or a symptom.
Right.
And again, that's something that would just open it up to so many more people. But of course, the politicians don't want to do that because we need to limit who's allowed to get this thing that the feds say has no medicinal value, but we're saying it has medicinal value.
There's just so many people, though, that I think hurt the medical movement sometimes. Like, if you don't actually smoke it for medical reasons, you shouldn't really say you do. Like, promote recreational marijuana by saying, I just like to smoke it, and be honest about that. Be like, I like to smoke it recreationally. That's why I want it legalized, instead of being like, oh, well, I just like to smoke recreationally, but I'm going to claim it's because
Yeah, I know where I know what you're going with.
People that do that, and it's like, no, like stand your ground and like admit what you like to do.
It's like, you know, a lot of people, and I don't know percentages, but there's the myth that's based a little bit on fact of people out in California. Oh yeah, I've just got this pain in my back. There's no way you can actually prove or disprove pain. You know, you can do
right.
Every test known to doctors, and you are never going to see definitively that, yes, someone has pain or they do not have pain. And what was the thing? Oh, yeah, I've got glaucoma. Dude, you're like 15. Yeah, but, you know, glaucoma runs in my family, so, like, I need weed because right. glaucoma.
Right. So, yeah, I don't disagree, and I think it's a good point, Heather, when we try to game the system, sometimes you end up hurting the system. And there is absolutely no reason why recreational marijuana should not be a thing. I'm just in favor of removing the word marijuana, cannabis, whatever words they use for it from the federal record. Just
right.
remove it completely so it becomes one of those things we don't need to talk about.
No, like tomatoes.
Like tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Although... it has been pointed out that there are, you know, like FDA regulations about
probably thousands of
labeling
pages about
and
tomatoes.
All sorts of other things. But New Hampshire statute, the word tomato does not appear not once. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your thoughts on tomatoes, cannabis, or the Silk Road trial. There's some updates. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome about whatever is on your mind. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And story that I did see from news.bitcoin.com, and there's all kinds of news that you can find, not just about Bitcoin, but all cryptocurrencies and things somewhat remotely related to cryptocurrencies, news.bitcoin.com. This story is about Ross Ulbricht, who several years ago, I believe 3 years ago now, was convicted of being the operator of the Silk Road website. And, well, there's bad news about his case. Again, I did see a headline and story from news.bitcoin.com. However, this story comes from Ars Technica, where they write, the federal judge overseeing the trial of Ross Ulbricht has denied the legal team's attempts to extend the normal 3-year window for post-conviction relief. In essence, the move stifles Ulbricht's new attorney's extraordinary effort to reopen the case with new exculpatory evidence on the, Ars Technica says, on the off chance that it exists. We know for a fact that there is exculpatory evidence. However, the judge says, yeah, that's not exculpatory. We're not allowing it, even though... You knew about this, or we told you about this, and you weren't allowed to present it during your defense. Specifically, the fact that at least two of the federal agents working on the case were bribing and extorting.
Right.
You're not allowed to present that as part of the defense, and there have been other things that have come out since. Again, the article from Ars Technica continues. On February 5th, in a brief handwritten note, U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest blocked efforts by Ulbricht's new lawyer, Paul Grant, to go beyond the standard 36-month period allowed in what is called a Rule 33 motion. Grant took over the case from Ulbricht's previous counsel, Joshua Dreitel, in June 2017, shortly after an appellate court upheld Ulbricht's conviction and double life sentence plus 40 years.
All right, stop. Every time I hear that, first of all, it infuriates me because this was somebody you can agree with. I don't care which side you're on, whether you're thinking drugs should be legalized or they should be illegal. But this entire sentence was so horrific. It made no sense whatsoever.
No sense at all. Plus, the judge even said, I don't think you're remorseful for what you did.
Right.
As part of the justification for giving double life plus 40 years. The people that were actually selling the drugs on the Silk Road website all got less than 10 years. The federal agents that were extorting money
right.
got less than 7 years.
Yep.
One of the guys attempted to flee the country before going to prison, but still did not wind up getting very much extra time. And I think they just wound up saying it's concurrent.
Right. And the idea of double life sentences, that just the phrase drives me nuts, because that in itself, it's like, how can you give a double life sentence?
Double life plus 40 years.
Right.
Which is basically a triple life sentence.
So that to me should be a reason to throw something out of court if you've come up with a ruling that is illogical.
Right. It's almost like you've got 1,517 years worth of prison time. I guess in theory they could extend your life that long to keep you in prison.
Just call it life. A life sentence and that's it.
Right.
They could do Alcor? The little frozen body thing?
Oh, there's all.
Oh, if they froze their body,
Mark Edge, who's one of the hosts of the show.
If you're revived after 165 years, then your sentence will be up and you can be a free person again.
Yeah. Mark Edge, one of the hosts of the show, he's got that Alcor thing to where when he dies, he's got some Met Alert sort of something that says, call this number immediately, put my brain on ice.
Good for him.
Is that really what it says?
It might say so in different words, but that's the effect of what it says.
He's just carrying on.
All right.
The judge, again, in a brief handwritten note, and I don't know if what is transcribed here by Ars Technica is the entirety of the note, but they say that Judge Catherine Forrest wrote, the motion to extend time for a Rule 33 motion is denied. Denied being in all capital letters. A Rule 33 motion is not an opportunity to relitigate that which has been litigated or to engage in a fishing expedition for new evidence. The court appreciates that Mr. Grant was not involved in the trial, but the transcript reveals that the very evidence to which he now points, that the FBI was monitoring the defendant's online movements, was explicitly known at trial. Normally, from the time of a conviction, in this case, February 4th, 2015, there's a 3-year clock during which new evidence can be presented. In a February 5th, 2018 filing, Grant had asked the court to extend the time while he waited for prosecutors to send him files. Let me reread that.
Right.
Normally, the time for requesting things is 3 years, which in this case would have been February 4th, the conviction was February 4th, 2015. So 3 years after that, February 4th, 2018, on the 5th, the lawyer asked for an extension because he was waiting on the prosecutors to send him files.
U.S. Postal Service running a little slow. Or are they just making up excuses?
I don't have all of the information I need from the prosecutor. Can you give me more time? No.
Did you not ask for it? No, we did ask for it. They just haven't got it to us in years.
And it's to be noted here, and I will continue with the article, but it's to be noted that before the trial began, the Ulbricht team wound up getting a couple terabytes of information on Friday. The trial was to begin on Monday.
No, doc dump. So, yeah, that's a document dump.
72 hours. You've got all the information. What do you mean you need to postpone the start of the trial? We gave you the information.
Right.
We didn't give you any time to look at the information, but we gave you the information.
That's a standard tactic.
The article here continues. Judge Forrest denied Grant's request the very same day, although her ruling can be appealed. Grant has vowed to do so. He was attempting to get the case reopened at the district court level. At the same time, different lawyers working on behalf of Ulbricht are trying to convince the U.S. Supreme Court to take the case. Attorneys representing Ulbricht filed their cert petition to the nation's highest court in late December. In early March of this year, federal prosecutors are due to submit their formal response to the Ulbricht petition. Once the justices have paperwork from both sides, they will decide whether to hear the case or not. There's more on this, plus your calls and thoughts. Welcome, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. What are your thoughts? Does Ross Ulbricht deserve two life sentences plus 40 years? This is Free Talk Live.
Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get to the phones in just a moment. But first, I want to make sure that I tell you about a home security system that you can get delivered right to your front door or side door, whichever door it is that deliveries come to at your house. And then you just download an app. And the Blink security system will walk you through the setup. Even if you have a complicated router system and you're not technically inclined, it should not take you more than about 10 or 15 minutes. And then the Blink home security system will either notify you whenever something moves in front of that wireless camera, or you can just check in on the camera whenever you want to from that mobile device, be it your phone or a tablet. And have we got a deal for you. Get three Blink security cameras for what the other guys charge for one. Visit blinkprotect.com/FTL. That's Blink Protect, all one word, blinkprotect.com/FTL, as in Free Talk Live. blinkprotect.com/FTL. There's more to this article from Ars Technica about the Ross Ulbricht trial and the bad news where the judge denied the Rule 33 motion. But first, let's go to the phones where we've got Doug calling in from Philly. Doug, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, guys. Doug Sattel, SITTL.
Yep, we know exactly who you are, Doug, and you've been warned about calling to promote that YouTube channel. And Ian said that if that was the first thing you said, and it was, you're banned again.
Ding, ding, ding.
Goodbye, Doug.
You win.
Let's go to Thomas calling in from Chattanooga. Thomas, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Is there anything that can be done to impeach this Judge Forrest? And I appreciate what you've been saying about that case. I just discovered your radio station tuning across the dial.
Nice.
Excellent. And you're listening to 1160 AM to one of our newest affiliates there.
Excellent.
Chattanooga.
Yeah, I think it's 1150 to be
Okay, the board op here put 1160, but in either case, we do appreciate you for listening.
And I'm going to go with the guy looking at his radio. I think he knows what channel he's on.
I'm really enjoying everything that you're saying, and I agree with you. And I just wanted to ask kind of a philosophical question about noise pollution, because I read some article years ago about a place in Massachusetts or Vermont, somewhere up in New England.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a leafy liberal town, and they had banned leaf blowers. And I didn't think much about it.
I think that was Massachusetts. I do remember that.
Okay, yeah. And I thought, that's one of the few things I agree with them up there. And because down here, there's a lot of noise pollution, like jacked up trucks. And I mean, I like I like automobiles and I like trucks and motorcycles, but there's some that are just like extremely loud, and there's no apparently any decibel limit on them down here. And I was just curious if, you know, as a libertarian, mm-hmm. how would you approach that subject? And I just wanted to kind of get some alternative opinions about that.
Well, it depends on which libertarian you ask. Yeah. I'll start off by saying that.
Okay. I'll give you an answer. It's basically the idea that the idea that one man's music is another man's noise, you know, so there's not only decibels, but there's also what is being said. So I can imagine, you know, in some particularly anti-Muslim areas in the United States, where the sound of call to prayers by Muslims may be deemed right. as noise pollution. But in terms of straight decibels, I think there's a libertarian case to be made for harming someone else. If
right.
the levels are such that they would cause damage to one's ears, then the victim should be entitled to compensation.
Doesn't even have to cause damage to one's ears. Let's say, Chris, that and where we live, or at least where we're broadcasting from, Keene, New Hampshire, the houses are fairly close together.
Here, where I live, they're not.
Right. Yeah. That's why I said where we're broadcasting yeah. from, yep. because I realize that you and Heather live a little further out in the country.
Yeah. Two examples, yeah. Go ahead.
But the house next door, fairly close. You could, you know, literally stand on the porch and throw something and hit their front door.
Sure.
And it doesn't take, you know, a very hard throw to do that. So let's say that I decided at 2 o'clock in the morning to listen to some music very loudly, not loud enough to where it would puncture their eardrums, but loud enough to where it wakes them up.
Right. Keep them from being able to sleep through the
you
night.
Know, you're sure. causing some harm. So it doesn't have to be, you know, physical. I have ruptured your eardrums. But this is something to where, you know, some kind of restitution system would wind up coming into play. And then, you know, I'm also very sensitive to noise, mostly because I've had way too many concussions. And part of post-concussion syndrome is irritability and sensitivity to noise and light.
This explains
you
a lot, doesn't
irritable?
It?
No,
Daryl, really? You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I see light pollution in the same sort of way that I see noise pollution, to where if you just go around shining flashlights in somebody's eyes, even if it's not for long enough to damage their retinas,
right.
you know, you've still caused yeah. a harm.
My thought.
You're imposing on somebody else's freedom and right. Disturbing the peace.
Agree. My thought was, if you poke a beehive, you're going to get stung, right? So if there's that one guy in the community that is making all kinds of noise, and the majority of people in that community agree that it's a nuisance and they want to pass some law banning it, I'm all for that, because why should the majority of people in that community, you know, suffer and be unhappy and miserable so that one person can do whatever the heck he wants?
Could they do it without a law?
Hmm?
That's the question. Could they do that without a law?
Could.
I think so too.
I think they could. I mean, I think, you know, like, go up to the guy's house and give him some ultimatums.
Public, yeah. I mean, just, you know, to people quit doing business with a guy because he's being kind of an a-hole.
All right. So, well, what about that example of the noisy neighbor that plays rock music at 2 o'clock in the morning and wakes you up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just saying, I'm not going to go shop where you work. That's not really affecting him.
I mean,
unless you say you have to wind up paying your neighbors $20 for, you know, playing loud music.
Yeah, but there's that. There's public pressure. I mean, that works on most people. When people are shamed, or you know, people are everybody's talking about it, you know, why are you being like this? There's also that good neighbor effect. And sometimes I think noise pollution is a good example, because there's actually something tangible. Oftentimes we have these crazy right. hypothetical discussions that go nowhere.
Right. And you said being a good neighbor, and that goes a long way, because in our present system, people are less likely to go knock on the neighbor's door and say, hey, Bob, can you turn the music down a little bit?
Right.
You were waking me up. The first response by most people is, I'm going to call the cops
right.
and have the cops go tell Bob to turn his music down. Mm-hmm. And then Bob gets mad at you because, oh, that a-hole sent the cops over to my house.
Right. And you're transferring the responsibility of being a good neighbor, of being a human, onto somebody else. And I don't think I need to assign that that responsibility in anyone. Go ahead.
There was a case on the Cape where a girl was issued
Cape Cod.
Yeah, Cape Cod. She was issued a no trespass order by some woman because when she would get off the school bus and she'd walk home, I guess she would allegedly cut through like somebody in the neighborhood's yard to get to hers. And so rather than the people speaking to the girl or the girl's mother, they all lived in the same neighborhood. They called the police and got a no trespass order on the girl.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's the kind of society I want to live in.
That is terrible.
Right. Is that the kind of society you want to live in?
You can't approach a little girl and, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thomas, any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, thank you. I just want to, real quick, back to the question I had at the beginning about can the judge be impeached, and is there, you know, an effort to do that? And then also, can you promote your website or, like, some way people could get in touch with your, like, your program and listen to it? Yep. When you're not on the air?
Yeah, we are always online at freetalklive.com. That's freetalklive.com. And
we're
to
on
answer
Twitch
the to answer
YouTube.
The other question, judges can be impeached. Yep. Requires an act of Congress. And I don't know any member of Congress that is taking up the case. Thomas, thank you for
Thanks.
The call.
And listen on Thursdays. It's 7 nights a week, and I know you don't have as much time to go around, but Thursdays is the night to listen.
It's the best
this
night.
This is Free Talk Live.
All right, it's another edition of the Edgington Post Show coming to you live from the North American Bitcoin Conference. It is Mark Edge reporting here for Free Talk Live. It's a huge event. It's the biggest Bitcoin event in the world. It's great, and I'm getting the big names. I got Fernando Gutierrez, CMO of Dash here. You guys have a huge display down there. You're one of the platinum sponsors.
Yeah, we are. We decided to make a big splash in this conference. We've been coming for a few years. It has been good for us, and we decided to celebrate last year's success here with the people that comes here, and we are all crypto enthusiasts, and we want to share our vision with them.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really separates Dash from the rest of these coins, and best I can tell, completely separates Dash from the rest of the cryptocurrency sphere, is the master node, the marketing dollars that are taken essentially from, the master nodes, like 10% of the transaction fees go towards growing the Dash network and growing and reaching people.
It's not exactly the transaction fees. It's the block reward.
Okay.
So in our case, we have our incentives are aligned in a different way than in Bitcoin. In Bitcoin, all the block reward goes to the miner. We pay to the miner only 45% of the block reward. Another 45% goes to the master nodes, which are enhanced nodes.
Yep.
And can do many things because they get paid.
And yes, we can do many things because we get paid. Yes,
exactly. You have one, and then there's a third group, which is the treasury. Mm-hmm. It's 10%, and that's money that gets used to promote or to develop the project, and it gets voted. It's competitive money. We, the Dashcore Group Inc., it's a company that develops that software, but there are other companies or groups that compete with us for that money, and if the network decides we are not doing a good job, they will defund us. It's completely decentralized, and it's a day-to-day competition, much better than ICOs, where whoever is there where they do the ICO, they get all the money, and they don't need to respond to anyone. We respond to the network every month.
Yeah, I think that money really makes it so that Dash has this huge influence and has grown well beyond what many of these other competing currencies. It was a masterstroke in the creation of that, and so yeah, it's great stuff. One thing that we were talking about off the air beforehand is that, you know, Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency. It would be foolish to think that there wouldn't be some kind of advances up beyond what Bitcoin can do, which is great, and it's got all the name recognition and all that other stuff that other currencies can provide. Dash provides several different advances. Can you go and explain some of them?
Yeah, Dash brings instant transactions.
Yep,
secure instant transactions. I'm not talking zero confirmations. It's you can do a transaction that is securely confirmed in 1 second. That's huge for merchants or for any use because you don't need to be waiting to know that the transaction is coming through, like it happens in Bitcoin.
Right. So a Dash transaction you can do for a very low fee, and you can see a transaction either instant or within 2.5 minutes, depending on what you choose
to
do.
That's it. If it's an instant transaction, it's going to be a few cents depending on the price, it's going to be six, four, seven cents.
Right. So 7 cents for an instant transaction versus Bitcoin, where you pay $20, and where I've paid $25 for a transaction that took me more than 2 hours. And I've heard of people that have paid more, and it's gone on for 2 days.
That's correct. And then normal transactions, if you don't need that instant confirmation, they go for less than a cent. So, but the big thing is that other currencies also have very cheap transactions, but only because they are empty.
Yeah.
So if your blockchain is empty, of course they are cheap because it's competition. But we have a commitment and a way to scale our network, so we will always have a spare room in our blockchain. So we're seeing companies that had businesses based on Bitcoin that are coming to us to migrate to our blockchain, because we will always have cheap transactions.
Right.
They were being killed by Bitcoin fees. One such case we announced yesterday, for example, it's a company called Pico.
Pico?
Pico, they do top-ups for prepaid phones around the world. They stopped accepting Bitcoin some time ago because if you are doing a top-up of $20, you aren't going to pay $25 in fee.
Right.
Now they take Dash exclusively.
It's happening across the globe. People are dropping Bitcoin, and they're either not taking any cryptocurrency or they're taking a different cryptocurrency.
Absolutely.
In a lot of cases, that cryptocurrency is Dash. So what we're finding in New Hampshire is many of the activists in the libertarian community in New Hampshire, we use Dash on a regular basis, a point-of-sale software called AnyPay that activists developed in New Hampshire that Free Talk Live's affiliated with, basically accepts Dash, and it was started on Dash. They do accept Bitcoin and probably some other currencies that I couldn't necessarily come up with at this moment. But that allows it so that, as far as I know, just about every merchant in New Hampshire that accepted Bitcoin now accepts Dash, and it's basically working to fill the niche that Bitcoin created 3 years ago and now can't fulfill. Dash is fulfilling that. Are there any other communities, any other places where Dash is seeing large market penetration?
For example, Venezuela. We have a very big activist group over there, and because they are distressed country with a broken currency, for them it makes even more sense than to anyone. So we're seeing a lot of things over there. We're seeing things in Eastern Europe, in Russia.
Okay. What about, I've always kind of wondered about the marijuana industry. These are some people that really need banking, and they really can't get it because banks are just petrified of the notion that there are free people out there purchasing marijuana legally in states like Colorado, and these sorts of things are quasi-legally. I consider it legal, but the federal government might have something else to say about that, and that's what the banks are scared of.
I love that question because we are working deeply into that market. There's a company we've partnered with called R36. In fact, they finished their developer sandbox yesterday or today, something like that. So they are going to start seeing integrations. They do ATMs, they do POS software, they do e-commerce software. They are the full solution for the sector. They are focusing strictly on the legal cannabis market. And they can provide a dispensary or a grower or a distributor with all the tools so they can have electronic money. They don't need to be moving around or more trucks with full of cash like they do at the moment. They can do Dash, which is obviously much more convenient.
It just gave me an idea. Look, what do I know? eBay's constantly got some armored car for sale, right? Because, companies have armored cars, and armored cars get old like regular cars. Somebody could put together an armored car company, trade Dash for the cash that these businesses have, and so somebody could come in, buy their marijuana with cash, whatever their medicine, whatever it is that they're doing, they buy it with cash, and then the armored car company could come around, act like a bank, trade them Dash for their stuff, and then they can operate on the back end completely in Dash and still allow their customers to pay in cash. Just an idea.
Well, that's basically what they are doing with ATMs.
Okay.
They're installing ATMs in the dispensary, so a customer can come with money, get Dash, and pay with Dash. So the dispensary doesn't need to touch the cash.
Got it. It's a great idea. And what other things can we expect to see from Dash? You guys have a huge developer community, and you guys are always looking on the next big thing. You recently cut transaction fees by 90%. So transaction fees where a regular transaction where it was 2 cents is now 0.2 cents. That's about right. I mean, maybe it's 3 cents.
Yeah, less than a cent.
Right. The kind of money that you leave in your couch because it's not worth looking for is, what we're talking about here. You wouldn't bend over to pick up one third of a cent. You know, so yeah, I mean, you guys are, and because of your huge developer community, always coming up with something new. What can we expect to see from Dash?
The next year, what we are launching is the next major version of our software that will make possible to interact with the blockchain in a completely different way.
Evolution.
You will be able to have light wallets that don't trust in a server like you do when you download a mobile wallet.
Uh-huh.
You will be doing real crypto, like if you had a blockchain yourself, without downloading the blockchain, which is a huge usability advantage.
It really is.
And also integrations become much easier. So we will see many more companies adopting Dash because it's much easier to take Dash than it is now. So basically this year is about usability, about ease of use, about getting crypto to people who are not capable or willing to do the things we all do to use crypto on a day-to-day basis, because it's not that easy.
So here's one of the things that, for me, stands out with Dash. So there's a lot of currencies in the space, a whole bunch of currencies in the space. What Dash has that the rest of them don't is this loose governance. Obviously, libertarians don't like the term governance,
no.
But the fact is that, you know, Dash is an enterprise. It's not a company, but it's an enterprise that intends to bring to people the values of cryptocurrency. It's a better tech than, you know, old Bitcoin was, and, you know, the ones, many of the other cryptos that are out there. So it's a better tech. And you guys have this huge developer community because of the treasury reward thing that you've got, and you're able to create... you're able to, you know, take the long steps so much faster than everybody else is, because they're all out there trying to do ICOs and generate money or whatever, whereas people can get involved in your project from the smallest to the largest, and they can be part of the community before they ever start making money, and then they can start, you know, making money because the value of Dash goes up.
To hear the rest of this great interview, just go to archives.freetalklive.com and get the MP3. Look for today's date, download it, or just listen on the website, archives.freetalklive.com. And we're back with the interview.
Exactly. The governance system works pretty well. And about what you said, the libertarians don't like the word governance.
Yeah.
But I say, in reality, everything is volunteer, which is
right.
Important for a libertarian. I mean, everything is voted.
Yep.
So if you don't agree, you can always go.
Yeah.
No one forces you to take a role in the DAS ecosystem. And we are all under the same rules. We all need to compete for our funds. We have I'm part of a company that develops DAS. We had to create a company because you can't move money around and hire people without creating a company. We like the decentralized, no companies, no banks stuff. But in the end, people need to pay their mortgage. They need to have a contract, that kind of stuff. So we had to create a company. But we compete with any individual who is anonymous for the funds. It's a completely decentralized and volunteer system in which anyone can take place or not. That's his choice.
So the difference is that there is a Dash company. That Dash company handles marketing and oversees some development. But honestly, the masternodes decide, not the company, who the developers are and those sorts of things. They have continually decided to stay with the same developers, but they could change in a moment if they wished. So it's a fascinating way of sort of setting things up. And when libertarians, you know, argue about the term governance, I think it's kind of amusing. Look, I don't dislike government. I dislike bad government. I dislike the state, which is an organization that claims a monopoly. But in my family, there's governance. My wife and I, we decide on things together. It's a governance structure. You know, I have a governance structure with my life insurance policy. They wrote out a contract. I agreed to that contract. That's governance. So governance isn't bad in and of itself if you can get, if people have a voice, if they're getting the services that they need. Any hotel you stay at, it's got governance because it has a management company. So, you know, nothing bad with governance as far as that goes. I've just had people's eyes immediately change when I use the term governance.
Some people say, oh, a company, this is so centralized. We need to compete with the others. So it's not centralized. We're just one actor. The other actors are getting funded.
Yep.
The network could decide to defund us. I'm doing marketing in that company, but there are people in the community doing marketing. This is a completely open system.
Right, yeah, you do.
I enter through the project through dash.org or whatever website I go to, and there's videos on how to do that, and I can discuss that with listeners later. But I go there, I enter a project, the masternodes vote, and they usually vote resoundingly towards at least our project. Some projects get defunded, some don't, it just goes on and on, and that's their decision. It's the masternodes that make that decision. If they see a value, they do it. If they don't see a value, they don't do it.
Exactly. Democracy is good when it works.
Yeah, right.
I know it is broken. It's a terrible system. But
when people have a stake, and masternodes have a stake.
Yep.
And that's what, for us, that's what's really working. So, you've got it, Evolution is the name of the new.
Yes, but that's just a code name.
Okay.
Internal code name. The project, the product will still be Dash.
Yeah.
It's just how we call this major release that is going to happen through 2018.
When do you think it's going to happen in 2018? I was thinking December 2017 was like the first.
I don't dare to give a date. It's going to be released in phases with different features coming out at different moments.
So it's already started with the lower fees.
Yeah, there's parts that are already in the code, preparation parts, but the major releases are coming through this year. We don't like to give hard dates because this is financial software. So you need to test it extensively, and you can't afford to have mistakes or problems. It needs to work flawlessly before you release it.
Yep, and it's I'm excited. I think that generally when we see new things happen, the crypto market is excited about those new things. So I would expect Dash pricing to continue to go up as these new things come out, because it'll make it more versatile and more useful as a currency. Would you agree?
I would hope that. I think we've already experienced a big correction with the rest of the market.
Yep,
but I don't take. I don't do price discussions because I don't know what will happen. And anyone who says they know, they are lying. So people should make their own investment decisions, only invest in Dash if you really believe in the project, and if not, don't. You can use it. You don't need to invest in it. What we want is people using Dash every day for the payments. We want transactions.
Yeah, transactions are where it's at. There's no doubt about it. Thanks so much. How would people get involved if they want to be involved in Dash?
Oh, I'd say that a great place to start is the forum. Dashforum.org, but there are many other media outlets. If you Google Dash community, you'll have Reddit, you'll have Facebook, you'll have Twitter, all the major ones, YouTube, depending on what you prefer. Then you start talking with people and engage. That's the way to do it. That's how all us did it.
Yep. Thank you so much. It's Fernando Gutierrez with Dash. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Big pleasure.
The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the liberty media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com.